Good afternoon, folks. This is Will Aitchison with Labor Relations Information System. I'd like to welcome you to our ongoing series of podcast interviews about topics of interest in the public safety workplace. And today we're going to take a break from a series of lawyers and labor relations professionals that I've interviewed over the last year. I want to talk about something that I think is of very high degree of importance to all public safety employees, and that's shift work. I'd like to introduce our guest this afternoon. His name is Dr. Philip Tucker. He is from Swansea University in Wales in the United Kingdom, and he is a specialist. He's devoting his professional work, at least at the moment, to shift work, and in particular, the cognitive aspects of shift work. Welcome to our podcast, Dr. Tucker, and thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Tucker, tell us just a little bit about your background and how it was you came to study shift work in the first place.
Well, I've done a PhD in applied psychology, and after dabbling with a few areas, I worked with a group of people who were working in this area of shift work research, and it was of great interest to me. So I developed more and more research interests in this area, particularly starting with laboratory-based work, but then moving on to looking at surveys and looking at accident data and that kind of thing more in the real world.
I notice in reading some of the literature on this that there's a lot of reference to the, I would pronounce it VISAT or VSAT program. Can you tell us what that is?
This was a large-scale longitudinal study conducted in France, conducted over 10 years, where a large number of employees were studied through their medical checkups that they have to have by law in France every year. And the researchers in the VSAT study, with whom I've been collaborating, were able to incorporate some of their own questions and research questions into these regular checkups, including things like the cognitive tests that we used in our study that we recently published, as well as collecting a vast range of other data on to do with physical health and the people's background and so on and so forth, and then follow how these people's cognitive abilities and other aspects of their health and well-being developed over 10 years.
So we have a rich data set then that's out there that can be analyzed by researchers for a variety of purposes.
That's correct, yes, indeed, yes.
On November 3rd of this year, the Occupational and Environmental Medicine Journal published an article by you and four of your colleagues on the cognitive effects of shift work. Let's get a couple terms out of the way before we get into the heart of your study. To begin with, what's shift work for the purposes of your study?
We used quite a broad definition. So we asked people questions like, do you work rotating shifts? Or does your job require you to work through the night? Or does it require you to stay up beyond midnight? Or does it require you to get up before 5 o'clock in the morning? And for some of the analyses in our study, we simply classified a shift worker as somebody who answered yes to any of those questions. For some of the analysis, we were a bit more specific and just looked at people working rotating shifts. But in general, we had a fairly broad definition.
You start your article with an observation. And the observation is that shift work, we know this and we have known this for a long time, has negative physiological, not talking about cognitive impacts, negative physiological impacts on employees. Can you just summarize for us what the research shows in that area?
Well, shift work is associated with a number of health complaints, such as increased risk of cardiovascular disease, problems associated with metabolic disorder, so we're talking about things related to diabetes and obesity, things like that. There is also some reasonably strong evidence suggesting a link with cancer, particularly breast cancer amongst women, and also evidence to do with musculoskeletal disorders and things like that, but those are the main candidates, yeah.
And your focus, though, was on cognitive abilities. What types of cognitive abilities were you looking at?
Well, in the study, we did very simple cognitive tests. So, for example, we got people to, we gave them a list of items, letters or words, and simply asked them to memorize them and then recall them straight away. And then they'd be given something else to do and then come back and recall those items again sometimes later. So we're looking at short and long-term memory. Other very simple tasks involving substituting letters for symbols and looking how quickly they could do that, so we're measuring processing speed. So the sort of tasks which you and I probably don't do in our everyday life, but which we believe represent the basic underlying cognitive processes that do underlie all our general day-to-day mental activities.
Were you giving the subjects any physiological tests, such as an MRI or anything like that, to examine brain function?
Not to examine the brain function, no. There were a number of physiological measures in terms of blood cholesterol and obviously things like height and weight and things like that. But in relation to our study, no, we didn't actually look at their brain structures.
You did three types of analyses with this data. Could you describe what these three types were?
Well, basically, we simply asked the question, do people who have experience of shift work have different cognitive abilities to people who have no experience of shift work? And the answer to that question was yes. Those who are either currently or previously working shifts had lower mental cognitive performance. The next thing we asked was, is it a matter of length of exposure? And so we divided people up into how long they'd been exposed to shift work. And we found that those with more than 10 years of exposure to shift work showed the strongest effect in terms of the decrement in performance. So it does seem to be an exposure thing. And finally, we looked at what happens when people leave shift work. We looked to see whether there is any change, if there is any recovery. And in that analysis, we found that people who had been out of shift work for more than 5 years, their cognitive performance had recovered to the level that it would have been had they never worked shifts.
Okay, let's take a look at the first of these questions. Shift work affects cognition. And this, I would assume, would be with employees who are currently performing shift work, correct?
In the first question, we looked at both people who had were currently performing it, but all who had previous experience of it.
At what degree, if you can say this from the information you looked at, what effect was there? What degree was there of this effect for someone who's currently performing shift work?
As I say, we were looking at both people, combining people who both were currently and previously working shift work, and we found that the effect, the difference, if you like, was equivalent to something like 4 years of age-related decline due to shift work. That is to say, normally we expect that people's cognitive abilities do decline over time anyway, just as a function of getting older. But it seems that those who have some exposure to shift work, either currently or in the past, showed an increase equivalent to just over 4 years of normal aging.
Let me bring you over to the U.S. for a moment and explain basic public safety shifts in the U.S. and ask you whether or not these shifts would qualify as shift work. The first is our firefighter shift. In the U.S., the most common shift is one of 24 hours on, followed by 48 hours off. The 24 hours on typically has a sleep period set aside. It's usually between 6 to 8 hours, but that sleep period can be and is interrupted by calls to duty, either a medical call or a fire call. Would that be shift work for your purposes?
That would be counted as shift work in terms of our study because it does involve working over the night. However, in our particular sample, we probably wouldn't have had that many people working that precise type of arrangement.
Yes, it's sort of an unusual one from an international standpoint to have that sort of shift. Law enforcement officers in the U.S. just simply work they have to work 24 hours a day. The shift isn't 24 hours. It's typically 8, 10, or 12 hours in length. But there's always a graveyard shift, a nighttime shift that is at work. Some law enforcement officers actually work what are called rotating shifts, where they'll work a set of day shifts, say 2 weeks in length, and then move to a set of swing shifts, middle of the evening shifts, and then move to a set of graveyard shifts of a similar length, 14 days or so. That's all shift work, right?
Absolutely, yes. And as I say, some of our analysis did specifically focus on rotating shifts. So yes, that we would certainly count that as shift work, yeah.
Let's talk about the rotating shifts, because that's, for what it's worth, it happens to be a kind of a pet peeve of mine. I represent law enforcement labor organizations, and I've never understood why, in light of the physiological evidence concerning rotating shifts, anybody would still be working rotating shifts. are there accelerated cognitive losses associated with rotating shifts versus other types of shift work?
Well, I'm afraid we're not able to say that from the results of our study. But the evidence suggests more generally that the problem with not working rotating shifts, the opposite being just working fixed night shifts, for example, is what happens on your day off. Because for a lot of people who work fixed night shifts, when they come to their days off, they want to go back to being normal day people. So in fact, they're not permanent night workers, or they're not permanent night people at all, because they do make this shift between night routine and day routine because of the shift between work routine and days off.
Understood. Now, let's take for a moment the people who I've seen throughout my career. People who have more than 10 years of exposure to shift work and maybe have done it as long as 20 years or 25 years, their entire career. What is the cognitive impact on them?
Well, according to our study, people with exposure of more than 10 years, and we can only classify it as that. I can't tell you what the average of that group was, but the people who are exposed for more than 10 years showed an equivalent of about 6.5 years of additional aging, if you like.
Is this a permanent loss, the cognitive ability? You were studying as to whether that exposure persisted, or the effects of the exposure.
Absolutely. It would seem from the results of our study that no, it's not a permanent loss. That's the good news, if you like, because people who had been out of shift work for more than 5 years, their cognitive performance recovered to a level that was the same as people who'd never worked shifts. We also looked at a group who'd been out of shift work for between 1 and 5 years, and they did show an improvement, but it wasn't statistically significant. So there was some kind of improvement there, but we couldn't say for sure. But yeah, amongst people who'd been out of shift work for more than 5 years, there was a significant recovery.
Dr. Tucker, what's behind this? What are the causative agents behind the cognitive loss?
Well, we can't be certain, but we believe, partly on the basis of previous research that has been done looking at people exposed to jet lag over a prolonged period, and of course jet lag has a lot of similarities with shift work, in those earlier studies they studied aircrew who of course suffered jet lag a lot over years. And they actually did do MRI scans of their brains and noticed that people with chronic exposure to jet lag had a slightly reduced size of certain parts of the brain, particularly that involved with memory. And so although, as I say, we didn't measure the actual brain structures of our participants, given the similarities between the two types of the studies and various other factors, we believe that's a pretty strong candidate. Why is this happening? Well, we think it's because of the disruption of the body clock. The body clock is primarily a center in the brain that tells the body what time of day it is and what it should be doing in terms of either sleeping or resting. And of course, naturally, we are active during the day and sleeping during the night. That is how we have evolved as a species, if you like. And so when we work nights, we work against that biological programming, for want of a better term. And we believe that it's the disruption of the body clock that may well be impacting on the brain structures. There are other potential explanations which we can't discount completely, such as, for example, the fact that shift workers are more likely to get a metabolic disorder, as I mentioned before, and that in itself is associated with cognitive decline. Another possible explanation that we noted in our paper was that shift workers probably have a vitamin D deficiency, a vitamin D associated with exposure to daylight, and there is evidence that vitamin D deficiency is also related to cognitive decline. So we can't rule those other explanations out, but given what we know about the nature of our study and the workers that we looked at, our primary explanation is this effect on the brain structure due to chronic disruption of the body clock.
Now, Dr. Tucker, I'm sure our listeners, some of them are going to be in the position of hearing this and saying, I get it. This research lines up with what I have seen in myself or seen in others. What can we do about it since we're in a business that requires 24-hour service?
Absolutely. Well, I guess probably the primary message is that maybe even to the employers that, as we say in our paper, the findings highlight the need to maintain good medical surveillance of shift workers, particularly those who've been exposed to shift work for a long time, more than 10 years. Because, of course, not everybody gets affected in the same way. There are individual differences, just as there are with exposure to smoking or any other kind of hazard like that. But it's about trying to identify those people who really are experiencing problems and possibly suffering health effects, including effects on their cognition, and then offering them some kind of assistance. The other thing that we would probably suggest is looking at ways of reducing or minimizing the disruption of the body clock that I mentioned earlier. Now, that can be done by looking at the way the shifts are sequenced, particularly if you work rotating shifts. And this is probably something that is a little bit controversial in the United States as compared to Europe. We tend to recommend rotating shift systems that involve working very few nights in a row so that the body clock barely starts to adjust before it's time to go back onto days again. And that keeps the body clock lined up with a daily rhythm. And there's quite a lot of evidence to suggest that's actually less disruptive.
So instead of like a 14-day rotation, maybe a 4-day rotation.
Or less than that. Even 4 might be too much, actually. Although, obviously, you've got to counterbalance it with the practicalities of things. But, you know, we might be talking 1 or 2 days, or nights, I should say. So there's quite a lot of evidence to suggest that those kind of systems are associated with less impairment. The alternative, of course, is to go completely the other way and completely reverse the body clock, particularly, for example, using bright light exposure. Bright light is one of the main drivers of the body clock, and if you can actually, turn the body clock upside down by exposing people to bright light at the appropriate times of day, the only trouble then is, again, what happens when it comes on your days off, and we don't really know what the long-term effects of radically altering the body clock like that would be.
Understood. What's next for the research in the area? What do you think we'll be hearing about in the upcoming year or two?
Well, I guess in terms of our particular study, what we need to focus on now is what types of shift pattern are most associated with these problems. Because as I said, we used quite a broad definition of shift work, and so we weren't able to compare, for example, between people working fixed night shifts and rotating night shifts and so on and so forth. So that's one thing, is to look at what type of patterns are more or less damaging, if you will, and also to investigate the underlying problem. Is it the disruption of the body clock itself, as I said, or is it metabolic disorder, or even is it something like vitamin D deficiency? Again, at the moment, we can only speculate on these things.
Very interesting. Doctor, I want to thank you so much for participating in this interview. You're raising a topic that I think is just assumed goes with the territory, at least in public safety in the United States, and not very much attention is paid to this issue here. And I think we need to change our focus on this, because we could be leaving people partial casualties of this work, not even thinking that there might be things we could do to lessen the problems associated with shift work. So thank you, Doctor. Let me let you get back to what I think is your late afternoon there in Wales, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too.